You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Attention to the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, very familiar passage of scripture. It is my prayer that you don't allow the familiarity of the text keep you from getting something fresh from the Lord. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I'm moving quickly because I don't believe in lollygagging with God. And so I want us to see what the Lord has to say. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I'm going to move around just a little bit. I want verse 19 and verse 20. And then I'm going to scoot down to verse number 37. 1 Kings chapter 18. When you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Reading from the New King James Version of Scripture, your Bible should read something similar to mine. You'll find these words: "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long shall thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word." Verse number 37 says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." I want to look at verse number 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people might know that thou art God, and thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell." I want to preach a little sermon this morning entitled, "I Need the Fire." Tell your neighbor, "I need the fire." Watch this, brothers and sisters. Let me jump into this text. The book of 1 Kings is a wonderful writing composed at a time that another writing was taking place known as the Chronicles. What I love about these two books is Chronicles was built to tell the story of the people, while the book of Kings was wrote to tell the story of the kings. And so originally, it was one canon, but has been separated as it has been translated. And in this particular book, you find the stories of all of those who served both Israel and Judah. In this particular book, you find an introduction to a fella that I love to identify, that I believe the majority of us identify with, by the name of Elijah. Elijah is not a king, but he is the Lord's prophet. What I love about Elijah is Elijah reminds me a lot of us. Elijah is a man dedicated to God. He is bold and brave on one hand, but at the same time, he is humanistic and sometimes fearful. As much as Elijah strives to be faithful, he finds himself at times faltering along the journey. As much as Elijah wants to stay the course, he finds himself standing in a fearful and troubling situation. He has periods of both determination as well as discouragement. Don't that sound like us? We know who the Lord is. He knows who we are. And as much as we strive to be faithful unto God, we find ourselves in some peculiar situations where it seems as though our fear will override our faith. We love God. Tell your neighbor, we love him. We love God. But at the same time, we allow life to confuse our love at times. We love God. And we know that God shows us his love toward us. But sometimes life throws curveballs at us that makes us question, does God really love us? Y'all looking at me funny. But if you are honest in here, all of us have had moments where we've called upon God and God has made a way. And we celebrate God and we realize his love toward us. But watch this. At that very moment where we are celebrating how much God is showing his love to us, the devil will appear and throw another curveball at us that makes us wonder if the Lord really does love us, because we feel as though if the Lord loves us, sometime he ought to keep the devil away from us. But watch it, brothers and sisters. Just because the Lord allows the devil, and I did say he allows the devil, you do know the devil can't do no more than the Lord will allow him to do. Every time he does something, that means the Lord opened the door from around you and allowed the devil to get close to you. But watch it, he still has control on what the devil can do. Watch this. Elijah was aware of God's power, presence, and provision. Let me see if I can make sense to you. Elijah knew who God was because God had allowed some powerful things to happen in his life. Watch this. The Lord tells Elijah to go tell Ahab that a famine was coming into the land. This was a troubling message because Elijah understood that this famine would not just affect the people, but it would affect him as well. But watch this now. This is what I love about God. God not only sends Elijah to deliver the message, God delivers Elijah away from the famine. Pay attention to the text. The text says that he goes to Ahab and he tells Ahab, thus said the Lord that a famine is coming. Be prepared. He forecasts it. He prophesies in it. And then he allows Elijah to move before the famine takes place. I love it. I love it. The Lord not only sends him, but then he delivers him. And I wish somebody caught this in here because we don't think the Lord can make a way once he does something. We think just because he tells us to deliver a message that he ain't gonna pull us out before the trouble comes. But the Bible shows us that not only would he put you in a peculiar position, because watch this, being in front of Ahab delivering bad news was not a good situation, because Ahab, being the king, had the power to slay Elijah because of what he told him. But the Lord allows deliverance to take place. I love it. Watch it. Not only does he get Elijah away from Ahab, but he tells Elijah, go down to where I'm going to send you. Find your way down to a brook called Cherith. Watch this. This is how good God is. Not only does he get Elijah away from Ahab, but he sends him down somewhere where ain't nobody else at. You do know sometime when the Lord moves you, he don't move you in a group. And he won't move you along with your homies and your friends. But sometime when the Lord wants to get in tune with you, he'll put you in a place to where you can't talk to nobody but him. The Bible says he sends him down to a brook called Cherith. Watch this. And while a famine is sweeping the land, the Lord is taking care of Elijah. The Bible says he's down by the brook. Everybody is struggling and starving. But, Lord have mercy, but Elijah, he sends him down to a desolate place. Nobody is there but the winds and the water. And watch it, in the midst of the winds and the water, the Lord allows a raven to fly by twice a day and bring him meat to eat. And he allows the brook to stay wet enough that Elijah can hydrate himself. I wish that you catch this thing. No, he did not send him to Ruth Chris. No, he did not send him to Popeyes to get a chicken sandwich. But he sends him to a place where he can take care of him.
I wish somebody caught this thing, because we tend to believe that when the Lord does something, it has to be big, grand. I need you to catch this. The Lord ain't got to give you steak every day, because if you're hungry enough, bologna will taste like it. Y'all better talk to me in here. Y'all looking at me strange, but the Lord feeds us every day. It may not be filet mignon, but salmon tastes just as good. The Bible says that Elijah is sent down to the brook, and then watch this. He feeds him, and then he takes care of them. And then watch this. When this season is past, he tells Elijah, get up. It's time to go. Watch it. He tells him, you've had enough vacation time. You've had enough isolation, insulation. He said, it's time now for you to get up and get back to work. And then watch what he does. He sends Elijah to a place called Zarephath. And watch it. Before he can get into the city good, the Bible says right on the inside of the city gate is still considered wilderness. He does not make it to the town square, downtown, but right there in the wilderness at the doors of the city, there is a widowed woman. I love it. The Bible says that this widowed woman does not even realize that she's on an assignment. It says that she's walking by and she's gathering sticks, and watch it. Elijah encounters her, and when he starts talking to her, the woman reminds him that she has something on her mind already. She says, I'm already working. I'm gathering sticks. Go home and prepare a last meal for me and my son so that we can die. Watch what Elijah does. Elijah says, well, before you do that, can you get me a drink of water? The woman looks upon him and says, I suppose I can handle that. And she goes back to gathering her sticks, heading toward a home, and Elijah calls out to the woman again, why are you getting the water? Do you think by chance you can fix me a little piece of bread while you're fixing one for you and your son? And the woman said, maybe you miss what I said. I'm gathering sticks. I only have a little bit of oil and meal, and I am preparing a last meal. I need you to catch it. Elijah tells this woman, oh, that sounds good, but before you do that, fix me one first. Watch this. This is a lesson even in the middle of a lesson. What Elijah is trying to show this woman is, while you're preparing for death, I'm trying to help you prepare for life. Lean in, child of God. Too many of us are looking at the end instead of recognizing you still got some steps to take before the end comes. And so he tells her, before you do this, the second thing he's trying to show her is there is a blessing in looking after the man of God. I knew some people was going to get quiet, because you ain't blessed your pastor all year long. We almost into November. We in the last quarter of the year. And some of you ain't told the Lord thank you for your pastor yet. But the Bible has a lesson in it. Watch it. The woman goes in. She puts the oil in the pan, puts the wood together, starts a fire, makes this little bread, and takes it out to the prophet first. He said, God bless you. Thank you for being so kind. The lady turns around with her head bowed down. Because when she poured, it wasn't none left. But the Bible says, when she gets back to her kitchen, she opens up the meal barrel and it was still some meal. When she opens up a crude of oil, it's still some oil. What I'm trying to get you to understand, my brothers and sisters, is don't try to tell God your plan. Lord, I got to move in here. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible says that because of the woman's obedience, Elijah is a blessing to her. It says that often as the woman went back, she kept finding more meal and more oil. I'm trying to help you. You do know when you trust God with what you have, he'll make sure you always have. I wish there was somebody who can testify in here. I gave all I had, and every time I went back, the Lord made sure I had some more. Oh, I feel it. I feel pretty good in here. Somebody ought to be able to testify when I tried God. He proved himself unto me. Not only does the Lord provide for the woman in the sense of substance, but when the woman's son got sick, she was able to go right back to the same prophet who showed up at her doorstep. The Bible says the prophet is able to speak life back unto her. Listen, I done said it two times now. First, the woman was preparing to die for her and her son. Then the son falls into the sleep of death. And both times the man of God shows. Lord have mercy. The man of God shows up and restores life. Hi, Lord, again, watch it. I got to get out of here. The Bible shows us not only will the Lord deliver you out of, but watch the turn in the text. The Lord will also turn around and send you to your enemies. Watch it. Because by the time you get to chapter 18, it says that after many days of being in Zarephath, the Lord then tells Elijah, it's time now for you to go face Ahab. Can I bother you real quickly? You do know some of our problem is we don't want to see our enemies. And so we can't handle our enemies if we can't look at them in the face. Bible says you got to go see Ahab. Watch this. But what I love about God is Elijah has been traveling by himself. And so in his mind, he still believes he's by himself. He believes all of those who swore God are now swearing by these idol gods. And the Lord shows him, not only am I sending you where you need to be, but I'm letting you know you got some help along the way. The Bible says that he tells him that you're not alone, and if you start heading the way that I send you, you'll bump into a fella by the name of Obadiah. And not only is Obadiah waiting, but there is 100 more of them hiding in a cave waiting for you. I wish y'all catch this text, because see, we think that we got to fight the enemy by ourselves, but the Lord always got a plan for you. The Bible says that he has conversation with Obadiah, and watch it. Obadiah is the one who initially goes and tells Ahab that Elijah was alive and well. Watch this. Elijah does not make it to to Ahab. Ahab comes to find Elijah. This is how you know you got a bad enemy. They ain't going to wait for you to show up. They going to come to where you at. The Bible says that Ahab gets angry when he realizes that Elijah is still breathing. And watch it. He goes and finds Elijah. He starts fussing at Elijah. Tells Elijah, we going through this all because of you. It was you who opened your mouth. It was you who declared this famine. It was you who caused the trouble. It was you who put us in this predicament. But Elijah quickly reminds Ahab that it's his own shortcomings. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's his own issues that's causing the children of Israel to struggle. Can I tell you something real quickly? You ought to be at least man enough, woman enough to accept the fact that you got some problems. And some of what you're going through just might be your fault. Watch this. This is the first time that Elijah does not back away from the challenge. He does not run. But Elijah, in turn, declares a challenge. He tells Ahab, you know what? I'm tired of you. Paraphrasing the text. I'm tired of this dialogue. I'm tired of this back and forth. I'm tired of going back and forth with you. What I want you to do, Ahab, is get all of those who follow you. Say, get together the prophets of Baal that are 450 and the 400 prophets of Asherah, or the grove which sit at that heifer Jezebel's table, and tell them to meet me at the mountain. Watch the tone of this text, because Elijah then gathers the children of Israel together. And watch this. Not only has he challenged Ahab, but he turns around and he challenges the children of Israel to stand up for themselves. Tells them, listen, it's time now for y'all to figure out what side you're going to be on. Can I tell you, sometime you ought to challenge your friends and find out which side they really stand on. Elijah tells them that you have to be sure and very sure who it is that you call as God. Can I tell you this lastly? I'm making my way out of here. You have to be careful standing up for folk who have no desire to stand up for themselves. A whole lot of us find ourselves in trouble because we're fighting for people who have no fight in themselves. Watch it. The Bible says that Elijah tells them to stop playing, to get sincere about who they're going to serve, to stand up and identify what side they're on. Well, watch this. It's peculiar because the Bible says that while he challenges them, they could not say a word in response. I love it because Elijah does not allow their silence to stop him from doing what the Lord called him to do. Can I tell you, although the people were quiet, Elijah was still vocal. And he was still on the move for the master. The Bible says that Elijah makes his way up on the mountain. You do know that the Lord has a way of using mountains. Matter of fact, it's on Mount Sinai that the Lord sends down the Ten Commandments. He makes a ram appear on Mount Moriah. It's on Mount Zion that he transfigures himself before Peter, James, and John. But watch it, it's here on Mount Carmel that he shows himself through the object of fire. The Bible, it says that Elijah allows the other prophets to go first. Being the gentleman prophet, he tells them, y'all go ahead and and build your altar. Yeah. The Bible says that they build their altar. They cut up their sacrifice and they place it on, upon the altar. Yeah, it says that they started calling home Baal early in the morning. Yeah, can you hear them hollering out, Baal, Lord? Yeah, show yourself to us. The Bible said they called all morning long. Yeah, they crying, Lord, into the afternoon. Yeah, Elijah said, maybe he's sleeping. Yeah, he's on vacation. Yeah, or maybe he's busy. Yeah, but call on him a little while longer. Yeah, the Bible said, by time the evening sacrifice come, yeah, Elijah is tired now. Yeah. He said, move away. Yeah. Your God ain't answering. Yeah. The Bible says, yeah, that they cry out, yeah, and cut themselves with stone. Yeah. And Baal, yeah, he still wouldn't answer. Yeah. Elijah comes up, yeah, and tears down, yeah, their old altar. Yeah. And he builds the Lord, yeah, a brand new altar. Yeah, can I help you in here? Yeah, stop trying to use what other people got. Yeah, to worship your God. Yeah, you gotta give God the best of your service. Yeah, gotta give God the best of your praise. Yeah, the Bible.
Bible says he tears down the altar and he puts up another altar and cries out to the Lord, Lord, the sacrifice is ready. I put it on the altar. I've digged a ditch. I put stones to represent the tribes. I filled the ditch with the water three times to represent all of you. And Lord, I need you now to show up. In the midst of my service, when was the last time you asked the Lord to show up in your service? When was the last time you showed up not for a performance but to offer God your best praise? The Bible said he looks up into heaven and Lord, I need you now to let the fire fall. I gotta go Macedonia, but I found out when you ask the Lord to show up in your situation, when you ask the Lord with a sincere spirit, with a committed heart, and your mind on him, the Lord will show up. It's in the Bible. He called on him and the fire, it began to fall. Can you see it? It fell down upon the altar. It burned up the sacrifice. It burned up the stones. The fire, it licked up the water. Did you hear what I said? The fire, it burnt up the sacrifice that represents the burnt offering. The fire, it fell down and consumed the stones that identified that all 12 tribes still belong to the master. The fire, it licked up the water. What that was an indication of the presence of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm sorry about that. I need the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here? Anybody here that need the Holy Ghost? Some of y'all looking at me strange, but it's the Holy Ghost that's carried you. The Holy Ghost that's watched over you. The Holy Ghost that's led and directed you. Tell your neighbor, I need I need the Holy Ghost to fall on me. Let me help you real quickly. Somebody can't find the Holy Ghost. They ain't received it. Ain't got a hold of it yet. But can I tell you, you won't receive the Holy Ghost until you accept the Son. Jesus says, no man get to the Father but by me, and then turns around and says, I go prepare a place for you, and where I am, ye may be also, but I leave with you the Holy Ghost, that shall serve as a comforter and a guide. You gotta accept the Son of God to receive the Holy Ghost power. Is there anybody here that's accepted the Son? Y'all do know who the Son is, don't you? Born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, unstopped their ears. One Friday, it was God God's son. It was Mary's firstborn, with nails in his hand, with spikes in his feet, and a spear in his side, thorns on his brow. It was the son that bowed his head to the sleep of death. But watch what he said. No man take my life. I lay it down, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Do me one favor and tell your neighbor. 3 days later, oh, shucks in here. Yeah, 3 days later, let me make it good to you. Early, Sunday morning, tell your neighbor early. Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Watch what the people said. And now we believe that your God is the real God. You do know that some people ain't gonna believe until they see the fire, until they see the miracle, until they see the move of God. But that don't matter to you. Call on him anyhow, and watch the Lord show up in your situation. Is there anybody here that want the Lord to show up? Lift up your hand and say, Lord, show up. Lord, show up. Lord, show up. Won't it do it? I said, won't it do it? Won't it show up? Won't it fight your battle? Won't it heal your body? Won't it make a way? Won't it open the door? Say yeah! Yeah! Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he show up in your situation? Won't he make a way out of nowhere? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yeah! I said, say yeah! Yes! Yes! Yes!
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.